Was that on purpose?
No, and now I feel bad.
Yeah. She put this little stank on it.
I'm sorry. As soon as it started playing, I'm like, what are you doing?
We know each other too well. I'm supposed to be on vacation right now. And I heard that, I'm like,
I'm not mocking you, I swear. It's just poor judgment.
It still worked out funny, though.
Yeah, so I was supposed to be in Colorado. I was supposed to leave last Thursday, but my little angel Phoebe, who was going with me, developed an abscess on her tonsil.
Oh.
So on Thursday morning, we were in the emergency room for hours and hours and hours, because that's kind of what you do in an emergency room. That's just the nature of the beast. But she had to have a CT scan. She had to have it with contrast, the whole bit. And anyone who's ever had an abscess on their tonsil, there are two types, I've learned, that the kind that's on the outside of the tonsil, they typically do surgery or they drain it, which sounds horrific. And if it's on the inside of the tonsil, they treat it with meds. And hers was on the inside. Mm. But I've known her whole life, and I've never seen her that sick. Her tonsils are completely white, touching, and swollen beyond belief. And so she just has a little slit there for her throat. So she couldn't even drink water that day. So it was really bad. She was really sick, still is. So they gave her IV medications and sent her home with strong steroids and strong antibiotics. But yesterday for Father's Day, we're hanging out, and she's still just feeling awful. So we're trying to, my buddy Scott, who owns the place in Colorado where we're going, one of my best friends in the world, one of the greatest guys ever, is like, just go next week or the week after. So we're kind of, I'm here this week, but we're trying to get out at the end of the week and go again. So we'll see.
Good luck.
Thank you.
So what causes that? Is it just happen, or do they have a reason?
It just kind of happens. So Phoebe has always been on the sicklier side, especially with things like sinus infections and such, which is why it's such a good thing that we're good friends with Dr. Matt Knoyer at Metro Sinus, and he takes care of us. But it just, like, she will get a sinus infection, and then she'll get over it, and 2 weeks later, it's back.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has had one, and it went away, and then this happened. And I thought it was like, I'm going to get this wrong. To me, pneumonia is a state, a phase of being sick. Like, you're sick, and then it turns into pneumonia. I thought that was going on here, but the doctors all said, no, this is just a coincidence. Like, she had the sinus infection. Now, maybe she was run down and her immune system was somehow compromised. But no, she just started getting sicker and sicker and more swollen. And it's one of those things how happenstance. I'm giving her mom total credit for this. Had we gone the day before, it may not have shown up. Had we gone the day after, it could have been really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So the two girls together picked the right time to go. And it was like, yep, there it is. We see it, but it's early. We caught it. Let's give you, let's pump you full of a ton of medication.
Yeah, no, that's awful.
What we're missing is I'm not in Colorado. I'm really burying the lead here. You know, I mean, ouchie, ouchie, sure. But
what are we talking about here?
Oh, that's awful. And tonsils, like, the sickest I had ever been was a year ago in March. Like, tonsillitis. And it was kind of there's something to be said for, like, being run down, because I got COVID and then was better for a week and then got sicker than I had ever been with the tonsillitis. And it was so painful. I think, too, when you have a fever, like, it makes you feel like crying. I don't know if you cry when you have a fever. I'm pretty sure I cried for 3 days and I couldn't stop. And I was so sick. So, like, hearing what Phoebe was going through, which is even worse with it being that swollen, makes me feel, like, dizzy for her, because it's awful. It's like traumatic. It's so bad.
But again, Dave didn't get to go to Colorado.
Yeah, right. You're really missing this.
He's in the heat instead of in the nice temperature.
Yeah.
Right.
I could be whitewater.
Yeah, you could be floating down a river. Searching for Bigfoot.
I bet I would have found him
You know what? This is the one you would have found him.
Right.
He's going to show up right where you were going to stay in the backyard on, like, a trail cam, and you're going to be like, dang it.
We would have found a Bigfoot with bad tonsils.
He's like, ooh. Like, I'm sick too. He's pointing at his neck.
Boy, the things. When's the last time any of you have like been in an ER for any amount of time?
Ugh.
You don't count.
I was going to say a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
Lots
yeah.
and lots of times.
I think it was like 2014, and I made the mistake of going to the Big Barnes.
Yeah.
ER.
A lot of gunshots there.
There were, I think, 4 or 5 gunshots. Like, so they would be bleeding, but also in handcuffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was intense. And then there were a lot of people like getting physically ill, I guess, because sometimes if you're unhoused and have nowhere to go and you go there. And so it was pretty awful.
There's like, it really kind of taught me a lesson. So triage, I think we all know what that means. It's the basically when you come in, whether it's in combat or it's in an ER, and a trained person says, Amy has tonsillitis, Chris cut his hand really bad, and Wheeler's having a heart attack.
Right.
You're first, you're second, you're third. And that's the way it's always been. And people don't understand the difference between triage and first come, first serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you come in and it's like a deli and you take a number and then someone comes in holding their chest before you and they get in before you, almost every person complained. I was there for 6 hours. So I'm just like watching it happen.
Mm. Yeah.
So
it's not take a number.
Yeah.
But the way that you get in immediately and they put you in a room is to call an ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
But then that will end up costing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why unless you do that when you insurance. Know you have an emergency.
Yeah.
Even if you have good insurance, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, insurance doesn't actually cover the ambulance.
Rides, yeah.
Turns out.
That's a real surprise to people, too.
Yeah. Ambulance companies are like private contractors. They don't like they're not.
Insanity.
A part of the healthcare system, which is shocking.
Absolute insanity.
I thought they worked for the hospital until the first bill came in, and I was like, this can't be right.
That's why they have different company names on the side of the ambulance.
I never looked at them.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
what about the ambulances, though, that are at the fire stations?
What's that?
What about the ambulances that are at the fire stations? They have those there, don't they?
I don't know if those are different. I mean, I know they're different from a private, but I don't know how that works for insurance.
I don't think those are the, like, pick you up and take you to the hospital kind of ambulances.
I think they are.
All I know is I'd be like, Andrew, if you can just stick this one out, we can go to Europe.
Maybe there is a difference, just though. Maybe
hang in there.
Maybe there is a difference. Maybe those are the ones, like, if there's a car accident and the fire department is called, they go.
You know,
I don't know, though, because the guy's like, I'm trying to think, because my dad years ago had a heart attack. And then when he came here a couple months later, just for the holidays, he got sick. And we were worried, so we called, 911 to come. And it was the ambulance from the firehouse right down the road.
So. You know, when I have those fears that never going to happen. None of these things are ever going to happen to me, but I still have nightmares about it. One of them is that I'm going to accidentally stick my hand into the garbage disposal when it turns on.
Okay.
So when I am at my place, which is pretty close to the hospital, I have more than once thought about what would happen if this happens. Do I just wrap it in a towel and walk to the hospital?
How far?
Do I?
He could fall out like his
three
window
blocks.
Into the hospital.
3 blocks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would
you gotta
do that.
Walk.
Like walk to the
I
three,
would.
4 blocks.
Unless you're going to pass out, though.
Yeah,
but that's it. What if I pass out? So my hand's all mangled because it was in the garbage disposal. Do I walk or do I call the ambulance? I think about this every now and then.
Can you be a little more specific about where you live, please?
If you fall down on the sidewalk bleeding in the Central West End, people are just going to step over you to get to Kingside.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just headed to breakfast.
But they're probably going to be closed at this time of day.
That's true.
Yeah.
Is dull the blades of your garbage disposal enough that they still work, but then they won't chop off.
They just
off
give
your
a
hand.
Real hard rubbing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throw some rubbing.
You just get very bruised.
Yeah.
Throw some ice and some gravel in there. You'll be fine.
We have not addressed why I think I'm going to turn it on when my hand's
right.
in there.
Yeah, why
that's
would
my
a,
question.
Why would your
like,
hand
how
be
is
in
this
there?
Happening?
Hey, Rachel, I don't know.
It's not a question to me. I got the same thing he's got.
Yeah.
But see, you said you're afraid you're going to accidentally stick your hand in there. My fear is not that I'm going to stick it in there, that it will accidentally go on.
Well,
there's
you're supposed
difference.
To unplug it.
Mine's that I'm going to intentionally put my hand in there.
Mine
really?
Is that I think it's that my hand would be in it fixing it or like taking whatever
fork or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it'll go on.
And then I will not think and then flip the switch on.
Oh my gosh.
Which is not outrageous.
I mean, it's pretty outrageous.
It's not though.
It really isn't.
Because why would you do that?
Because you're not thinking.
Kevin,
you're not thinking in the moment.
I've been on my phone talking to someone going, oh my gosh, I can't find my phone.
Yeah.
And I've done that. So if I can do that, I can turn the garbage disposal on.
That's right.
Back when I was a lawyer, when I was a baby lawyer, I was working for a firm that did defense for products liability. If there's a way to cut your hand off, you're going to find it.
Yeah.
You know what?
All right.
I was thinking about you being a lawyer defending babies. You said not the baby lawyer.
Bunch of babies baby suing lawyer. Their parents.
Your Honor, I'm going to be honest with you. My client just pooped his pants.
Can I request a recess?
5-minute recess, please.
How do you expect him to know how a bandsaw works?
They go to recess and they just all go out to the playground. Like school recess.
Recess?
Oh, somebody boy. Is ripe, senor.
My client would like to call for yet another recess. He says recess is his favorite time of the day.
Oh. Your Honor, my baby can't talk.
I would have been a great baby lawyer.
Oh, so good.
Your Honor, my client needs a nap. He won't stop crying.
You know
crying.
What? You're going to have to with that Uber driver baby.
Yeah,
you
right. Well, I would have been against him. I would have had to find a baby lawyer.
This guy has prosecuted more babies than anyone else in St. Louis.
Imagine a RICO case and there's 50 of them in the room.
I will never, as long as I live, I'll never forget that. What Amy's referencing is a baby delivered my DoorDash about a year ago. And Nick was over, and we're waiting for Taco Bell, and we'd see the van pull up. And then all of a sudden, because my door, like most people's door, like it's, you know, the outer door is glass, and it probably comes up 2.5 feet, then it's all glass. And the baby was so small that all I saw were its two tiny hands slam. And I mean slam. It was making a point. Slam against the glass, and then just go, and then when I started walking up there, Nick's like, don't walk so fast. Like, don't get up there too. This baby could have a gun. And sure enough, his bigger 8-year-old brother was also in a diaper just running around our front yard.
Oh, my gosh.
Your Honor, my client doesn't object. No is just the only word he can
say. And then I ate half a taco.
Yeah, like, I didn't know what to do.
Well, wait.
Like, you didn't want to be rude to them and be like,
but
I'm not going to eat this.
Didn't the 8-year-old or one of them throw up in your
no,
yard,
the,
too?
No, the delivery baby did.
Oh, no.
The delivery baby.
He and was, you still ate the taco.
I didn't know what to do. I was discombobulated. And
I think Mexican seasonings kill all that.
Well, it was wrapped up. Nick even said when he saw me eating, he goes, I'm assuming the vomit didn't get in the bag.
And then you were like, oh, no, I'm
And then
done.
I was like, oh, what am I doing? No, seeing that baby, the baby was riding the shotgun. And they started to pull away. And I just see the window come down. The baby, just like a Fiji at Mizzou. And just leans out and I'm like, and I didn't want to see the baby get sick. I mean, you know, he did a nice job. But I didn't expect him to spend 40 minutes in my front yard. Yeah. And I never, as God is my witness, I never saw a grown-up. Not one grown-up ever walked out. They could have been stacked up like on Gold
yeah.
Member.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Long trench coat. Yep. Three babies. Like little rascals, alphalfas on the bottom.
Pretty my awesome. Taco.
Spanky's
up high
up baby relates to the down low baby. What levers to press to move the car?
Up high
what
baby.
Pedals.
Yeah, the one that delivered the food was used to be in the bottom baby. You could
yeah.
tell.
Well,
what if it was like the baby on the cartoons that talks like an old man?
Baby Fenster?
Yeah.
To be here.
I was gonna say, like, what is your headspace like thinking you were gonna be on vacation and now this is happening?
You know,
we could never guess.
No. It's non-existent because Phoebe is so in the front of my brain.
Yeah.
So if it were like a non-emergency, scary health thing with my daughter, I would be pissed. But the fact that she's still so miserable, that's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
And not thinking so much about Colorado.
Good dad.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, happy Father's Day.
Thank you. You too.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, like if she twisted her ankle, I'd be like, hey, damn it. You, like, let's just go to Colorado.
It was funny. Dave texted us all to tell us all this yesterday. And he said, Happy Father's Day, Wheels.
Yeah.
And like, I was driving back from the lake and I looked at my phone. I was like, rude, just a kid. I was like, oh, wait, I don't have any kids. I was like, well, where's my Happy Father's? Oh, wait. I don't have kids.
Wow.
Wow.
Are you guys familiar? I'm only familiar from TikTok. Are you familiar with the country's most inbred family? Yes. You ever seen these guys?
I've seen Appalachia, right? Yeah, I've seen the documentary about
the guy
them.
That can only yip.
Yep. Oh my God.
It is.
I laughed
yes,
so hard.
That's how he talks. He's like, yip.
So, Amy, whatever you're picturing, triple it, and that's what we're talking about.
It's fascinating documentary.
But the funny part to me is the guy that has done all of this work is now out on this family because the dad died, and they begged him to pay for the dad's funeral. Yip, I guess, is his name. And made that up. And then Yip was down at the old Cracker Barrel. They faked his death just to get a few grand out of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well,
did not know that.
When you can't trust the world's most inbred family, who can you trust? So he's just beside himself. He's like, I can't believe the years I've poured into this family.
So they were smart enough to pull off this scam.
Smart enough to fool
him. And then
he
went to Cracker Barrel.
Yes.
Okay.
Smart enough to fool this guy.
I'm just from Alton, and I've said that I've got some hill people in the family, but they seem, when you see them, they seem pretty normal for the most part.
Got some hill Williams?
I don't know about that.
There's one of them that can only yip, and he's got some issues, but a lot of them seem like pretty, you know, they just look pretty normal.
It's the Whitakers, right?
You got me.
I think that's the name.
That's what comes up for me when I Google inbred family USA.
The only yips.
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of a relief to us, isn't it, Rach?
Yeah.
When I was really little,
this is the Wheelers that does the yips.
I was really little. We were in Granite City. My parents lived in this house, and there was a neighbor right behind us who would just sit outside. I remember this, and I was very, very little. He would sit outside, chew tobacco, and his name was Yo. He would just say, yo, all the time. That's all I ever heard him say.
I could see
so maybe he's
that,
like
though.
One of the mountain people.
I could see you sitting on your front porch saying yo to everybody that walked by, thinking it's hilarious.
That's what people call them, yo.
Yeah,
that's Ranji,
that
the world's most inbred man.
You know, he used to have to live in a bubble.
I did.
And his just old family tonight. Did, and that's where the problem happened.
I had a lousy immune system.
Amy, Mark scores.
You said he was the most.
She just goes, it's funny. On the Dave Glover Snowball Show, she's the one who goes too far.
What?
Well.
But then again, I don't think she means what she thinks she means, but I take it to mean that your whole family was stuck in a plastic barrel, and what are they going to do with that?
Puritan humor is a little different than what we understand.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, so,
just picture the guy in the Quaker Oats box saying
like
what she
whatever,
says.
Yeah, that's a little too advanced for her, but yes.
Just the Quaker Oats guy's like, well, they were all in the same plastic container.
It worked.
It worked.
Now what?
I actually wrote down Puritan on my show sheet.
See? I knew
what was that about?
I said that, for example, the Southern Baptist Convention just had their big convention for Southern Baptists. And,
do they call it that, the Southern Baptist Convention?
I think they do, the SBCCC.
The Southern Baptist Convention for Southern Baptists.
Unconventional Conventions Convention. But anyway... I don't know if you saw any of the footage, but they're all voting. They're holding up their little placards and voting on stuff. And they thought that they would vote that they would no women could speak in church and they couldn't, you know, be a pastor. And they took a preliminary vote and they're all for that, against it. But then when it came time, they didn't do it. But they did vote that IVF should not be allowed. And so I wrote, are we heading into a second puritanical era? That are these guys going to win? Are they going to hold sway for the next election cycle or two? Like people who would be against artificial insemination.
I mean, I don't think so, because they didn't, like, they just said, like, we don't approve of it. They're not, obviously it's the church, just saying the church's official stance. But then also, I think this is something that the pro-life movement has never worked through or talked through or no one ever thought about it, as weird as that sounds. And so, no, it's the same thing with contraception. I don't know anybody really who's, you know, who is an avid pro-lifer who's like, yes, and we should ban contraception. People may make their own personal decisions, but even the craziest Republicans are on the GOP right now on the right do not want to ban contraception.
Yeah, they're pushing pretty hard against that narrative.
Yeah.
Yes.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
135 DGS. Speaking of Cardinal Conversations, Wheels, why don't you plug your podcast?
Why are you looking at me?
It hadn't started.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, there's stalls.
Okay.
I would love to, yeah.
Well, let me plug mine then. That hasn't started either. Anybody? Anyone got one that's actually podcast going?
I was on Derek Gould's podcast last week.
Okay, fine.
I'm talking Cardinals.
So let's talk some Cardinals now. Just kind of take it wherever you want to take it. Cubs over the weekend. And, you know, once again, we take the series.
Yeah, the Cardinals have been good for a little more than a month now. So May 11th was the low point, right? May 11th, I forget the exact record, but... Since then, they're like 20-11. So you're playing like 640 baseball. You've gone from your lowest point, which is, you know, I think 15-24, 9 games under 500 to 500 in 1 month's time, mm-hmm. basically. So it's been good. They've been winning series. It's not perfect. I mean, it's, you know, we all talk about it. There are games that are close. It's ugly. It's scary. Still got, you know, the offense has slowed again. So in May, it picked up and now it's kind of tapered off, but now the pitching's going well. So sixth best ERA in June in all of baseball, and in some of the more advanced things, they're in the top two, top three.
Michaelis looks like he talked to a genie.
Michaelis has six straight outstanding starts for him. Sonny's been good, obviously. He's had a couple outings where he went shorter than you would like, but he's been good. Mm-hmm. Kyle Gibson's been money. I mean, like, maybe one of the best dollar-for-dollar free agent signings so far. Given what he's done for almost 3 months
now. Are we not giving enough credit to the front office for all that?
No, I think for that, there is credit. But I think that it goes along with the critique that, well, you probably should also be developing some of your own pitching. You know, the entire rotation is free agent signees. Now, I mean, they signed Michaelis when he came back from Korea. They signed Sonny Gray to a big money deal. Lance Lynn was developed by the Cardinals, but they had to sign him back in free agency. Kyle Gibson, Steven Matz. So, you know, and Matz is hurt now. So Pallante is a developed player. But that's kind of the critique is, well, yeah, you're spending $10 or $12 million on guys when you'd like to have a couple of those guys making league minimum because you developed them, which is what they did forever, right? That was mm-hmm. Lance Lynn back in 2011, and it was Michael Wacha and Carlos Martinez and Jack Flaherty. And, you know, they had this long run where every year or two you had one of those guys, which allowed you to spend money in other places as opposed to having to build your rotation from free agency. But it is going pretty well. Like, Lance Lynn is not getting deep into games, but Lance Lynn has pitched okay. Kyle Gibson's been excellent. Sonny Gray is obviously Sonny Gray. So, yeah, the three signings in the rotation have done. If you said before, like when you signed them, their collective ERAs would be where they are and their records would be what they are, you'd have been like, hell, that's a bargain for that money.
You know, there's a thing that a Cubs fan I know, I saw him say this once. He tweeted it out, and it was probably 5 years ago. And it was about Paul DeJong. And he said, oh, great, another guy the Cardinals invented.
Yeah.
Because that was the run they were on for so many years where it's just another guy. And now who is this person? And now he's producing. He's doing something, whether he's pitching or he's a position player and he's contributing. They always found a guy.
Well, they still do that. I mean, that's Brendan Donovan. That's Lars Nootbaar. Right, that's Ivan Herrera.
It's not the same that it used to be, though.
No, but it's just they're great at developing complementary players, guys that can come in and be major league players and regulars, just not stars.
Right,
right, and that's
flesh that out a little further.
Right, so if you look at the guys like Tommy Edman is another example of this that we're talking about. Guys that were not high draft picks, guys that were not viewed as top 100 prospects, but the Cardinals develop them. They come to the big leagues and they're good. and they help you at the major league. DeYoung was that guy. I mean, other cities in the Central Division, Milwaukee, Chicago, Pittsburgh, they talk, and Cincinnati, they always talk about Cardinals devil magic. There's always some random dude nobody's ever heard of that shows up one year and he's good and it helps the Cardinals win. And that was true forever. And it's still, I think it still is on the position player side. Because again, almost Alec Burleson fits this. Not a first round pick, not a huge top 100 prospect, but he's been one of the best hitters on the team and he's helping them win right now. They've been great at those guys forever. Less so on the pitching side now, though. That's the concern, is can you get back to where you were developing starting pitchers that can come in and eat up your fourth and fifth spots in the rotation and then maybe occasionally be even better than that.
So talk about the two big guys. I get confused because I will be watching the pregame and they'll say, like, Arenado on a tear. And I'm like, I didn't feel like he was on a tear.
Well, I mean, he had a really great weekend here against the Rockies. I mean, he had like two multi-hit games, made a bunch of defensive plays that were phenomenal. And the problem is it's just not power and it's not continuing, right? He's been going in little fits and starts. So like when you look at that Rockies series, or I'm sorry, the Rockies and then the Pirates, because he had a great series against the Pirates. That's the one I'm thinking of. He had three straight multi-hit games. And then they went to the Chicago Cubs and he's 3-for-12 with, I don't think, any extra base hits. So it's just kind of been hit or miss, and the real problem is the lack of power. Like, so a good slugging percentage, would you say, Ranj, for a guy like him, 450?
Yeah, 450 or higher.
450 and up. 450 yeah. would be low end for, so like for Nolan Arenado's career, his slugging is 521. That's Hall of Fame. That's elite. Upper 400s is, oh, it's fine. It's good. It's productive. He's at 381. So, and it's not, and that's, this is the thing that's the worst thing about it, is it's not bad luck, because his expected slug, which is based on the quality of contact, not just the results, right? Your slugging is, you could get a double on a little blooper that falls down the line and rolls into the corner. Like, you don't hit it very hard, it could still be a double. That's what your slugging is. The expected is what should happen based on where you hit it and how hard you hit it. Mm. You know, based on, you know, hundreds of years of data, you know? Well,
even
not hundreds,
if it's
but
an out?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. You get credit for that.
It's kind of like when they say he's hitting them hard right now. They're just turning into outs.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's actually,
yeah, it's that sort of thing.
His expected is actually lower than his actual.
Right.
Which means
so it's the
even
opposite.
Though he's way low, he's getting lucky.
Mm-hmm.
That's not great. And, you know, every defensive metric is a little different. They're not perfect. They're not exact. But he's grading out essentially as a below average defensive player right now.
It's crazy.
I know, because you see him make these amazing plays, and then you're like, ah, there he is. That's Nolan Arenado. And then you look at it, though, and you look at things like defensive war and fielding run value and outs above average and all these different, and they're not perfect. They're not exact, but they're guideposts, and they all are on the low side. And then you have Goldschmidt, who is actually a bit unlucky, right? He's only slugging 349, which is blue, but he's, as expected, is over 400. But even that is not good enough. I mean, like, he's a career 513 slug. He's slugging 349, and he hits the ball hard. That's still there. His exit velos are good. He's in the top quarter of the league, but his strikeout rate's the highest it's ever been. His walk rate is the lowest it's ever been. And when you have expected numbers that are not good, it means you're not getting lucky and you're not hitting the ball frequently enough, hard enough, frequently enough to get the production that you need.
I'm interested. All these things you're saying about all these different metrics, all the mathematics you're using, that let's say we didn't have 20, 25, 30 years ago.
Right, right.
To what extent are you and others like you able to better analyze with all of these numbers, as opposed to if we were watching the Big Red Machine back in the 70s,
right,
and you're really watching them, could you have told the same thing and said the same thing, just using different words?
Well, so to get to this kind of, so the thing that it does is it means you don't have to watch every swing of every game every day to understand what a player's doing.
Makes sense.
Right? So if I were going to scout a player 15 years ago before StatCast, if I were going to try to decide, is he hitting the ball hard or not, I would just have to look at every at-bat and say, what's the result? Was it hit hard or was it not? And it's kind of an eye test there, right? You don't have an exit velo, but you can tell when a ball's hit hard, and you can tell when a ball is not hit hard. But up until recently, teams could always just say about a struggling player, he's had some bad luck. Hit a lot of atom balls, hit him right at people and things like that. And you would have to actually go back and watch every at-bat and every swing to see if that was true. And now you can just look at the results. Here's his bat speed. Here is how often he hits the ball hard. And here's how often he hits it on the ground, for example, like Jordan Walker. Jordan Walker hits the ball really hard. Really hard. Even the minors right now, he's killing it, but he's hitting everything on the ground.
So walk me, how do we win this division? Walk me through what we'd have to do.
Those two guys have to hit like you expect.
Yeah.
I think that's...
Yeah, and the power is the thing, because I know that people will, especially if you're an older school kind of baseball fan, you'll say, I don't like the game that it's just all home runs or strikeouts, but you get a lot of your runs by hitting home runs, and your guys who were supposed to be home run hitters, if they're not, there's no way you're going to be able to make up all the runs you're missing out on by them not hitting home runs.
Those guys combined for 50 plus home runs last year. I mean, and right now, Paul Goldschmidt has 8 and Nolan Arenado has 6. So we are not at the halfway point, but those two guys combined are trending toward about 30 home runs instead of closer to 55 or 60. And yes, I totally agree that home runs are not everything. Doubles matter and all that. But these are guys that have done it for years. And that's what you're paid for, right? That's what you build a team around. You're paid because of the certainty that comes with a track record. I'm not trying to rip these guys. They're trying hard. They're working at it. That is not the question. There's nothing more that they need to do other than get results in games, which is hard to do.
And one thing to consider, it might be the wild card they get, not the division.
Yeah.
Right now, they are a wild card team.
So, Rach, Chuck Schumer had a barbecue fail over the weekend.
Oh, my goodness. I'm assuming Chris and Amy saw the picture.
Pretty
so,
awesome.
I saw on Twitter today, Chuck Schumer is outside, presumably his home.
Looking so happy.
No, it's his daughter's house.
Oh, his daughter's house. Okay. And he's grilling, and he's got some hot dogs going, which look fine.
Yeah.
And he's got some burgers going that are still raw. And he put 2 pieces of cheese on top of one of the raw burgers. And I'm just thinking, why is it so hard to be a normal person for these people?
He did come out afterwards, though, and say, I'm sorry, I've never actually grilled before. I've always lived in an apartment, which I also feel like offended that here he is, one of the most powerful politicians, and he doesn't even know how to grill.
This is what I don't like about those people. Be like us, please. Don't pretend to be like
there's
us.
There's something to that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the whole, I forget which politician it was, but who had no idea how much a gallon of milk was.
Right.
And it's the same kind of thing.
It's like, just, it's exactly like,
how much could a banana cost Michael? Cost? $10?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so great.
I hate that you can't, I'm not saying you need to be able to like change your own oil. I can't do that. But I think every normie knows how to like cook something, right? You know, the cost of milk, you know, things along, maybe not exact, but you got a vague idea.
And he looked the way I would look if I were about to fly with the Blue Angels.
He's like, ugh.
He was just so. Yeah.
You know what, though? There are all these TikTok people, and I don't know if they're doing it to make us angry, who will make, they'll be doing the recipes. They'll be creating the recipe and say, this is what you do. And then they'll show it. And there are a lot of times where it's raw ground beef that they'll put like directly on bread and then cook that.
Yeah.
They'll do stuff like that. That's out there. That's I don't know what that is, but there's some sort of
to get people to watch.
Yeah, to make us angry?
Weird makes people watch.
It does.
That's why you'll see all these people that are like, I have the greatest hack. And they're like, just throw it all in the pan and then you mix everything in the pan. Yeah, it's stupid.
But it's crazy because when we talk about real life is more bizarre than parody. They're, you know, Dan Levy's character, David Rose, who is like basically a Kardashian who loses all their money. So he's trying to find a job. And he's like, he's like a bagger. What's that? And the girl said, well, that is that's someone who puts the groceries in a bag. He goes, oh, OK, well, what does that pay? And she said, minimum wage. What's that? $50-$60 an hour? She's like, yeah, pretty much. And he just had no idea. That was parody, but sometimes I feel like that would be Chuck Schumer and these people who don't know how to grill, don't know what a bagger is. What? I don't know. It's just...
People, I hate these. I hate
How many senators could grill a burger?
I don't know. Probably. I mean, there's probably a fair number. There's some normies in there. people that have like lived like a normal person before getting in.
Yeah.
It's just kind of my argument about people that have been there for 40 or 50 mm-hmm. years. Like, you don't do anything for yourself, and you're not living amongst the rest of us. So how can you mm-hmm. possibly understand what would be beneficial to the rest of us?
Well, we didn't finish that thing.
Dude, I don't know, man. But when he flips it over, they're going to have some burnt ass cheese.
Yes, they are. Like, it's ready. Come and get it.
Who was filming it?
I don't know.
The person filming it didn't.
Yeah, they didn't know how to grill either.
Mrs. Schumer.
Apparently, because I Googled this to see the picture again because it made me laugh. Apparently, Kathy Hochul did the same thing, the governor in New York, where she just like had a raw burger on there and she's cooking, she's grilling in an all white, really nice looking dress.
All the other burgers are cooked and she's holding the spatula like up to her face and it's a raw burger. Like, this is how you do it.
I mean, she's probably trying to flip it, but who grills Schumer in a really nice white dress?
She should pull an Alito and put a flag up of an upside down burger.
My wife grilled this burger.
Like, that's how you grill?
My wife put the cheese on.
You grill
on.
Wearing that with all the splatter. I mean, we've all grilled. You get splattered with stuff.
Not if you just take a picture, you don't.
Nope.